100%.
No roadblocks are scheduled today on Highway 70, 54 South, or 380. For the latest roadblock information, call 575-678-1178. Tonight's forecast, mostly cloudy skies. In Alamogordo, expect a low of 47. Cloudcroft, an overnight low of 36. For tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny, becoming partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers. Alamogordo tomorrow, high 66, low 43. Cloudcroft tomorrow, high 52, and an overnight low near 31.
This is the Roundup on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 AM and 101.9 FM. Going from the Tularosa Basin and beyond, this is your local connection to the world of sports. From high school to college and to the pros, we cover the latest news and the biggest stories. And don't forget, this is your show. Change the topic anytime. Call us at 437-1230. The Roundup starts right now.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk. Everybody's having a fantastic Monday. Hope you had a nice weekend. And we're ready to go for another full run of high school sports this week. And another, no more football. And feel free if you want to talk about the Super Bowl. For somebody who didn't have a dog in the fight, you probably didn't enjoy the game. I enjoyed it because there was one team I didn't want to see win, and they didn't. And you can call me a hater. It's not hate. It's I would rather see one team win over the other. You know, did I take some joy in one team winning over the other? I did. Anyway, we'll get to that later. And anything else you want to talk about? Obviously, the Super Bowl will dominate the headlines over the weekend. The one thing I'll say, nothing controversial. You know, it was, I feel like we probably didn't, there wasn't a whole lot when it came to the refs, which is good. Kind of interesting. I feel like the refs started throwing penalties when the game was sort of out of reach. there was a part of me was kind of like, but actually that was a pretty well officiated game. So anyway, let's, go ahead and do high school sports first, though, coming out of the weekend. We'll start with basketball. Alamogordo lost another close one at home, had their chances. Fell behind, though. And that was they had to battle back, and, man, they made a nice run at it. Had a chance to win there in the closing minutes, but come up a little bit short. Centennial's good. I mean, that's a solid team. I would still maintain Alamo. This has not been their best stretch of games this season. I mean, I think that's more than fair to say. They, if they knock down two or three more shots, I mean, they had some threes that were wide open and just didn't hit them. Offensively, they're just not playing as good as they were earlier in the season. And that's, that happens. It's just, whatever way you want to look at it, that just one of those things that, can creep up on you at any point throughout the year. So they're still 12 in max preps, So, I mean, they're still basically in the same position that they were previously. The district standings may have an impact on that with, yes and no. So this week is huge. This week, more than that game against Centennial, I mean, Alamo's probably out of the district title hunt. I think that's fair to say. I think everybody probably is except for Centennial and Cruces. But what I will say is if they can win both games this week, they can jump to third. And I feel like that's a wonderful spot to be in. And they've beaten Oregon Mountain this year. It's a nothing road trip. I always say it's my favorite road trip of the year because it's just a little bit over the mountain, don't have to really get into the traffic of Las Cruces. It's one of my favorites. Anyway, that has to do with me. It has nothing to do with the kids. So, I mean, regardless of how, they may feel a little bit down in the fact that, You know, they're at 2-4, but they're still, they control their own destiny to a point. You know, because if they can win three of their final four, they should finish third place in the district, which, you know, gives you a first round district tournament game against Gadsden, which is a game you should win. It's not as good as getting a bye, but, and I mean, then you still maybe have a chance to work yourself up to, you know, playing for the district tournament championship. The other part about it is, I think if you can have both Mayfield and Oregon Mountain in your rear view, standings-wise, that'd be huge. It's going to be a tough week, though. These are both two really good teams. And, you know, for the Tigers, it's a seeding week maybe more than anything else. So we'll see how they handle it. You know, I think Oregon Mountain's obviously going to be tough the next go-around. You know, it was a challenging game before, but yeah, they've all been such close games. When you look among the teams, I mean, like Oregon Mountain has lost by 4-3, 11-4 they've lost by 11-4-4, won by 3, and then they have 2 wins over Gadsden. You know, Mayfield, they have, and they've got a pretty comfortable win over Alamo. They beat them by, yeah, they still need to change that. It was not 52-45. Almost 100% sure it was 58-45, unless there was something wrong in the scorebook. I'll have to go back and look at my sheet, but I'm like 100% sure that that's what it was. But beat Oregon Mountain by 4, lost a 2-point game in overtime to Cruces. Cruces, I mean, they've had a couple of overtime wins now. I have no idea. You know, I said it last week. I'll continue to say it. You know, Alamo, they're not going to go 5-0 in the second half of district play, but, you know, they could do a lot of different records over the next, you know. They could win the remainder. They could, I don't think they'd lose to Gadsden, but they could also lose both games this week and lose to Cruces. It's totally possible for that to happen. So, yeah, you know, defensively, I thought they did better for the most part against the post. And, you know, and Coach talked about in the post game a little bit, you know, the Tigers maybe don't deal with the physicality as well as they'd like to. And so, I mean, that's a little bit frustrating for them. I think he also, you know, he kind of second-guessed himself afterwards and said, you know, maybe I should have been pressing more throughout the entire game. We would have gotten more turnovers. I don't know if that would have made a difference, because I think that's what they did in the first game, and they scored 80 points on him, you know. So I think game plan-wise, Alamo had it pretty good. I think they really did a solid job game plan-wise. Said you got to hit a few more of those open looks. It's as simple as that. You know, and it was different players. It wasn't, you know, one person, two person. It was, you could probably pick out 4 or 5 different guys and multiple opportunities they've had. And that's, you know, the difference in, and obviously winning and losing sometimes. I hate to sound that simplified, but it, you know, it is, you know, it's in close games like that, it's going to come down to those little bits. So, you know, so we'll see how it goes. Tigers will try to bounce back. Head on the road on Tuesday and take on Oregon Mountain. The Alamogordo girls, they've got Oregon Mountain at home. Pretty much same deal from one game to the next against Centennial. They lost, I believe, 55-25 at home. They lost 56-26 on the road. So almost a mirror copy. I'm sure there were aspects of the game that were different. I obviously didn't get to watch it. But, you know, for the Lady Tigers, it's, you know, still the second round of district play. Get those wins against Oregon Mountain and Gadsden. Those are games that you were, you know, more competitive in than the other 4 district teams, or 3 district teams, I should say. So if you can maybe grab those and, you know, just build some positive momentum for yourself heading into the district tournament, you never know what might end up happening. But, and then, you know, just from a standpoint, if the playoffs aren't in your cards this year, just building some positive momentum for, you know, that team's got a ton of returners coming back next year, you know, just, you know, trying to build over. You know, you've got at least five games remaining on your schedule with four in the regular season and at least one district tournament game. You know, trying to, you know, build some positive things here down the stretch for yourself that may carry into, you know, summertime workouts and into, you know, heading into next year. Always good things to try and do. So, and let's see, the Tularosa boys grabbed the win as they picked up the victory over Nimmie on Saturday night. Yeah, I could pull up some statistics from the last few games. Not a bad idea. Sometimes I can act prepared. Sometimes, you know, a little bit less than. By the way, Aaron Herrera, I thought, had a really good game for the Alamogordo boys. 17 points. Jacob Ochoa had a huge game, probably his best game this season. He had 14. You know, Will Bynum had 9. And I think that's a little disappointing for the Tigers, you know, that, but from a standpoint of, you know, Julian and Jaden, who've, you know, had some bigger offensive games, Ethan, you know, but that happens. And I think this team has shown, you know, over the year that they can get 4, 5, sometimes 6 guys in double figures, and that's when they're dangerous, there's no doubt. So if they can find that, I mean, a lot of credit goes to the teams they're playing as well. I mean, maybe a little bit better defensive teams they've been seeing at times. But for the Tularosa boys, Jacoby Apachito had 17 in that win over Nimmie. Cameron Blazer, 13. Cameron Holguin had 10. Joe Chavez had 7. So they're 19-3, 2-0 in district. They'll go to Rodoso on Tuesday. That'll be the first round of district play, finished up at 7 o'clock tip-off up in Rodoso coming up tomorrow. No change in the rankings for Thule. They're 19-3, and I'm telling you, that top end of 3A is just, you know, St. Mike's 18-4, Santa Fe Indian School 18-3, East Mountain 20-2, Cobray's 18-3, Navajo Preps 19-3. Pretty big drop off after Thule, but those top six teams, man, they're all good, and I think you put them on the floor. St. Mike's might be better than everybody else, but I think the rest of them, those can all be really entertaining games. I know Cobra looked really good against Thule. And I think when you have, you know, super dynamic players like they do, that might be a challenge for somebody. But, man, you get to state tournament time. Anything can happen. So I don't think a ton of people have been talking about East Mountain, honestly. They've had a great, great year at 20-2. I think St. Mike's and Santa Fe Indian School, Cobra, Navajo Prep, Thule, maybe we've gotten a little bit more of the attention. But, man, all those teams have played some really good basketball this year. Thule girls got the win on the road over Nimmie, so a really nice bounce back for them after they had lost the district home opener to Dexter. So 42-39 was the final there. And so they're 1-1 in districts, 12-9 overall. And Dexter's 2-0. Thule and Rodoso are 1-1. Nimmie's 0-2. Thule's at 13 in the Max Preps rankings. Rodoso's 15. So the game tomorrow in Thule, between Thule and Rodoso, that's all these games are crucial down the stretch, man. It's a seeding thing. And again, I feel like both Thule teams are feeling fine about their postseason. You know, the boys, it's all about fighting for seeding. I don't know how much the Thule boys can maybe move up. We'll see. The girls, I think, have some, you know, if they were to really go on a run here and, you know, win out in the district, I still think that they've got a shot at getting to a home playoff game. It'll be close, but I think they'll at least have an opportunity at it. You know, if they end up somewhere in the 500 range, you know, 3-3 and don't win the district tournament, you know, they could still probably go top 10 in the seeding. So, probably a first round playoff game on the road, but help yourself with the seeding a little bit. Maybe you get a pretty solid matchup for yourself. So, but we'll see what happens with Rodoso tomorrow. That's going to be, I think, a really good game tomorrow in Thule. And then Mescalero Apache boys and girls got the best of Cloudcroft over the weekends. The girls game, Lourdes Sundeman had a huge game, 32 points in the win for Mescalero over Cloudcroft. 63-39 was the final. Tristan Hauser led the Lady Bears with 12. So the Lady Chiefs are 8-14, 3-1 in district. Lady Bears 7-12, 2-2 in district. And then on the boys' side, Mescalero gets the win there. Landon Hiles had 23 in the win in a 71-59 victory. So the Chiefs 9-13, 3-1 in district. The Bears 9-12, 1-3 in district play. So I'd been talking about the boys, and you know they just kind of keep creeping up in the rankings. They're still at 17, but they're right there in the discussion of maybe getting into one of those last couple seeds. We'll see. Hojo Academy is at 14-8, just in front of them. So their overall record and the Max Preps help them. Eunice, I think, has beaten Mescalero Apache this year. So that obviously is not a great thing for the Chiefs for one of those last couple spots. Penasco might be one that we'll see. You know, the record's going to be about the same. In fact, it's exactly the same right now. If they slip a little bit in the Max Preps rankings, that could change things up a little bit. And if Mescalero can win three of their last four, which totally reasonable for them to have a chance to do that, I think that Capitan game the second time around is going to be tough. And I think Cloudcroft the second go-around is going to be tough as well. But if they can only lose to Mesilla Valley Christian, they're helping themselves considerably. You know, you've also got Clayton, who's on about the same record, and they're not doing especially well in their districts. So there's a few teams that they might be able to hop in there and just be in one position back. You know, the obvious one, you know, is can they, you know, if they won the district tournament, that would change things. Or if they pulled off an upset over Mesilla Valley the second time around, any win over them would make a big, big difference in helping them, without a doubt. So, you know, Cloudcroft's, you know, they're in the position of, you know, they got to win their district tournament, I think, at this point now. And, you know, for them, again, put yourself in a better position seeding-wise and see if you can build off of it that way. Mescalero girls just can't seem to gain any traction in the Max Preps rankings, unfortunately. You know, their problem they'll run into is there's teams with better records than in front of them. So they're still probably in the same boat that, you know, district tournament, or, you know, if they can turn it around the second time against Lordsburg and get themselves into a tiebreaker. But again, the obvious goal is, hey, finish second place in your districts. Get that. You just have to win one game to get to the district tournament championship and see if you can pull off a surprise there. And by the way, there's, like with Mescalero Apache boys, there's probably going to be an upset or two out there of a team that may surprise and win a district tournament. There'll be some bid stealers. You know, the same goes for Alamogordo. Same goes for the Thule girls that are, you know, in solid positions, but, you know, if things don't close out particularly strong for them, you just worry about, you know, one or two teams that maybe surprise that are outside the top 16 in the Max Preps rankings. And again, that's not the end-all be-all. I mean, there's going to be your head-to-head. There's going to be your overall records and on and on and on. So, like I said, just judging with 2 weeks left in the regular season, I feel like the Alamo boys will be in a pretty good spot. If they didn't win one of their next three games, I'd be a little concerned. And then maybe lost in the district tournament, I'd be a little nervous, I think. Thule boys, I mean, really, to me, the only thing they can do is hurt their seeding. And I kind of feel the same way. I know the Thule girls are, you know, back half of the top 16. I still think because all four teams are inside of the top 16, I think they're going to be fine regardless of what happens. Cloudcroft boys and girls need to win their district tournament. And I kind of feel the same way about the Mescalero boys and girls. But I would say I'll still maintain, I think the Mescalero girls could do that. I know they didn't have a good first run against Lordsburg, but I don't know. I feel like that they've got the talent to maybe make that happen. I don't know if anybody's got the horses to run with Mesilla Valley Christian on the boys' side this year. Maybe the same for Lordsburg. I don't know. Again, not giving enough respect to the Lady Mavericks. They've done well enough now that they're probably going to host a first round playoff game this year. So they've put themselves into a nice position. Hey, we also had wrestling this weekend. The Alamogordo girls as a team finished in 30th place, but Avar Mijo will qualify for state. And I'm curious to see when they release the brackets if maybe Aliana Regales has a chance at a wild card. So we'll see. Once they release all of that, I'll let you guys know. But Ava finished in 6th place, so she will go to the state tournament, not this weekend, but next weekend. The boys have their regionals this weekend. And I would think Finn Krofka, AJ Benitez, both guys that have a very good shot at qualifying for state. I think Terrence Armijo is going to have a pretty good opportunity as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else, you know, has a good tournament and, you know, maybe has a shot at it among the rest of the group. You know, Cody Phillips has been wrestling at 126 recently. Damien, oh gosh, which Damien is it now? I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to have to go back and look for Alamogordo Wrestling. I don't think, is it Moreno for Alamogordo Wrestling? There's a lot of Damiens in Alamogordo these days. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, Damien Moreno. Yeah, okay, sorry. Had to think about that for a second. I was like, there's a few different Damiens there. And then, you know, maybe some guys a little bit further up the weight class. You know, Dimitri Hines has had some good days as well for the Tigers wrestling. And you got Gavin Kaiser. And I don't know if there's anybody else that we could possibly see in that grouping. So, anyhow, that's coming up this weekend. And then Alamogordo Swimming, both teams finished in 5th place at district this weekend. They're going to be sending Rachel Carmody, who is qualified the 53, and the 200 free relay on the boys' side are both going to state. So they will have some competitors, not this weekend, but the weekend after, up at the state meet in Albuquerque. So best of luck to them. And we pretty much told you everything that's going on this week. It's mainly basketball. We mentioned the wrestling. No swimming this week. No powerlifting this week. I don't believe any of our area teams have a cheer competition. Next weekend, Alamo and Thule are going to be over in Las Cruces at the Mayfield event. So that's coming up for them. But tomorrow night, 3 games. Alamogordo at Oregon Mountain on the boys' side. Tularosa at Rodoso. Cloudcroft hosts Mesilla Valley Christian. On the girls' side, it's Alamo at home versus Oregon Mountain, Thule at home versus Rodoso, and Cloudcroft at home versus Mesilla Valley Christian. Thursday, you've got Cloudcroft at Lordsburg, Mescalero hosting Capitan. On the boys' side, on the girls' side, it's Cloudcroft at Lordsburg, and then Mescalero Apache home against Capitan. Wait, no, I think the girls are at Capitan. Yeah. You know, I write this stuff out in the morning. Man, for some reason, you know what's confused me this year is in that 2A district, it had been in the past where the boys and the girls teams played doubleheaders, and Mescalero switched it up this year for themselves. Not everybody's doing that, but they are, where the girls are at home, boys are on the road, and it's been messing me up all year long. It's my fault. I'm not blaming them, but I'm telling you why I'm getting confused. Alamogordo's at home against Mayfield on Friday on the boys' side. Thule's home against Dexter. On Friday, the Alamo girls at Mayfield. Thule girls at Dexter. And then Saturday, Mescalero Apache. Boys are at home against Lordsburg. And the girls are at Lordsburg. Coming up on Saturday. So that's your setup for the week. If you want to get out and see some high school sports, getting a little bit closer to spring sports. I believe tennis is the first to get going next week. Next Tuesday, I believe, is their opening event. So we'll have some of that for y'all. And then the only thing I'm waiting on right now to post spring schedules is Mescalero Apache spring schedules. I haven't seen those yet. So as soon as I get those, I'll try to post them all up. But got Thule and Cloudcroft and and Alamogordo and Cloudcroft's basically track and field. They did put their powerlifting up. Thule's put their baseball, softball, track and field, powerlifting, and cheer competition schedules up. And then Alamogordo, we've got their golf, tennis, track and field, baseball, basketball, not basketball, softball, all up as well. So you can go to their respective websites for those. As for our Facebook page, I'm hoping to have them all together and post those up soon for you guys. So, all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. If you want to call into the show, 437-1230. We'll talk Super Bowl when we return. Stay with us.
New year, new score, new you. Start 2026 with confidence because your credit score matters. At OFCU, we make it easy to check, improve, set goals, and take control of your financial future with credit score. Enroll online in the digital banking app or at OteroFCU.org today and make this the year you shine. A better credit score means a better you. Other restrictions may apply, federally insured by NCUA.
The Winner's Circle has been outfitting champions for over 50 years in Otero County. Established in 1970
by our Gigi and Big John.
Let's show our school spirit, whether you're a tiger, wildcat, bear, or chief. We can make t-shirts, sweatshirts, polos, and hats. And we do custom embroidery too. The Winner's Circle does it all. Custom orders available for businesses, squadrons, and organizations like hats, polos, name tags, also trophies and awards.
Winner's Circle,
111 10th Street. Go Tiger! See you at the game!
Looking to transform your home's exterior? Meet Rudy Ochoa. With years of experience in stucco, Rudy and his crew deliver quality craftsmanship and stunning, flawless finishes. 575-442-6745.
Ryan Richardson Motor Company wishes the Tigers an amazing winning season. May your efforts match your dreams. Buy, sell, or trade late model cars, trucks, and SUVs. Financing available. Stop by for a test drive and score an amazing deal with Ryan Richardson Motor Company. 318 South White Sands Boulevard or online at ryanrichardson.company. That's ryanrichardson.company.
I'm only going a short distance. I never wear a seatbelt for that.
Seatbelts are too constraining, so I don't want to wear it.
My pickup truck will protect me. Why do I need a seatbelt?
It's a fact. Seatbelts save lives. Whether you're going to the corner store or traveling across the state, wear your seatbelt. Whenever you get into a vehicle, be a good example for your passengers and buckle up. Seatbelts are there to protect you and your passengers, so wear them. Remember, if you buckle up, they'll buckle up. Sponsored by NMDOT and aired in cooperation with the NMBA and this station.
Charlie died after taking a single pill that turned out to be counterfeit.
He was having back issues, and it was a counterfeit poisonous pill.
Websites and social media selling fake medicines may look legitimate, but they're not. Drugs from these rogue pharmacies could have fillers like sawdust or deadly fentanyl.
He died in less than 15 minutes after taking the pill.
Now there's a free tool that can give you peace of mind. At safe.pharmacy, enter the pharmacy web address and you'll know if the site you're using is safe.
If you're not getting your prescriptions from a legitimate source, that next dose you take could be your last.
We just don't want other people to go through what we're going through. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Find out about fake medicine on social media and if the site you're buying from is safe.
Hi, this is Cambry Seiling, Executive Director of Kids Inc. Child Advocacy Center. Kids Inc. serves child victims in Otero and Lincoln counties by providing services in a way that improves the investigation of child abuse, minimizes trauma to children, and helps families find the support services they need, all in a comprehensive, child-focused approach in a safe, neutral environment. For a tour of Kids Inc., to meet Sunny, our courthouse facility dog, or for more information, please contact us at 575-214-2558.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230, 1019. Welcome back to the show. A day full of analysis and this is why this team won and that's why this team lost and all that good stuff coming out of the Super Bowl. Congratulations to the Seahawks. I mean, arguably they were the best team all year long. And I know I sat here and said, I don't really trust the Seahawks and Sam Darnold. And it really You know, Darnold didn't make mistakes. That was crucial. And he made a few, plays for them here or there. And, he kept drives alive. His numbers, may not be super impressive. And they're, at the end of the day, somebody's going to look at that box score and say, well, Drake May played better than, because his numbers look better than Sam Darnold's do, which was just not the case. There's a lot of kind of garbage time yardage put up there for Drake May, and he just, he had a bad day. And, a guy that's a relatively young quarterback and a defense that played exceptionally well, offensive line for the Patriots was not good. And unfortunately, they couldn't really get the running game going to offset that a little bit. The Patriots defense was fantastic throughout most of the night. Kudos to the Seahawks for taking the points and being everybody rips on teams for being conservative. And they punted in positive territory a couple of times, and they trusted their defense, and their defense came through for them. I honestly think it's one of those you have to read the situation, but that's who they were all year long. That I didn't realize that they were a team that went for it the least in fourth down situations, I was sitting there as a non fan, kind of nervous for them when they kept kicking field goals. It's like, but. Their defense was able to stand up and not allow the Patriots to get any momentum. And when they finally scored that touchdown and made it 19-0, felt like the game was pretty much over. And, the Patriots scored and, all right, maybe. And then May threw it. Just an awful interception, man. That one, the one where he tried to fit it over the middle. And it's one of those that you have no idea who he's throwing it to. In the Super Bowl, that's pretty rough. And, again, the fumble, you can't really put it on him. You could argue. That's his, front side. He should be able to see that coming at him. It's not his weak side. Yeah, I don't know. But very impressive, the Seahawks defense. Kenneth Walker had a really good game. The Patriots defense had a little bit of an off night last night. That would have been beyond ugly last night. They did so much to keep their team in that game. It was crazy. So good for Sam Darnold. What a tough start to his career, and things didn't pan out with the Jets. But you have to kind of wonder at this point with the Jets. Like, I would not want to be drafted by them. They feel like such a poorly run organization that who's gonna be successful there as a quarterback. People are probably gonna start taking some extra looks at is it Zach Wilson, I think. A little bit of I'm not saying that that's true. you could argue that the Seahawks kind of did it for the most part without their most dangerous player in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He didn't have a huge game last night. The Patriots were, made a big effort to not let him have a big impact. The tight end for the Seahawks was great, and their offensive line did just enough. And if you're a defensive fan, that to me, I thought, as much as there wasn't a whole lot of scoring and people were like, oh, this game's boring, I thought it was interesting watching what the defenses were doing. The way that the Seahawks, they blitzed a lot, but the way they also ran their zones and made it, they were speeding up the game for Drake May, and they were making the passing windows tougher for him to read throughout, I would say, at least the first three quarters. And that he was having to make quick, smart decisions, and unfortunately, he wasn't, and he, sometimes when he had some open guys, he was missing those, and, just didn't play well. So it's one of those, again, that is this just a first step for him, or, he's going to be back, and the Patriots are going to be back, or I talked about it on Friday, it's such a rare opportunity to be in that position. Some guys get to go back multiple times. Very few do get to do it again. And it's I think that, you know, that big part of the moment, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the moment was too big for him or something. No, he just didn't play his best. So, you know, that's tough for the Pats for sure. They needed him to be a little bit better, but I think a lot of credit goes to the Seattle defense. And, yeah, I guarantee at the beginning of the year, we didn't see either one of these teams as maybe winning a championship this year. I think we figured that Seattle and New England could both be good, but I don't think we imagined they were going to be in that spot. So impressive for Seattle. So congratulations, Seahawks fans. Second, should be three championships in that history of that franchise. But, man, they showed that Malcolm Butler interception a lot. Seahawks fan, that's just got to eat it. I mean, again, the example of it felt like that Seahawks team was going to get back and win multiple championships. And, you know, the fact that I mean, they never got back again after that. So, wild, wild stuff there. I don't have really much else to add in the Super Bowl. I mean, the outside stuff, the halftime show wasn't for me. That's fine. I knew who Bad Bunny was. The music, I mean, didn't really, I mean, it was a nice show. I'm not going to get worked up over it. It's like a lot of people are. It's like, it's just a halftime show, y'all. I mean, there's a lot of people go to the bathroom, man. I mean, go get yourself a snack. Have a Coke and a smile. I mean, just one of those things that it's like you don't have to pay attention to it. It's not the end of the world one way or the other. And if you flipped over and you enjoyed, you know, the alternate halftime show with those folks, great. You know, there are a lot of people out there making fun of that too. And I'm just like, okay. You know, it's like, so I don't know. Overall, I mean, the things that I've seen, most people have been pretty positive about the show. Like I said, I thought it was okay. Nothing about it was like, oh, that's terrible. But I also wasn't as excited about some people were for it, and that's okay. We're all entitled to our opinions, folks. It's okay. We'll be all right, I think. As all right as we were going to be before the halftime show, I would imagine. So, the thing I always say is people are like, oh, I can't believe that's who they chose. And then the next question you need to ask to that person is, who would you choose that you think would have a wide appeal to, I mean, that's the biggest television audience every year. Who's going to get excited? What's the person that you're going to get excited about that a lot of other people are? Most people don't have an answer for that. That's, you know, you start asking questions and all of a sudden is, I just know I didn't like that. That's fair. I mean, that's perfectly fine. But it's also like, what would you rather see there? And I know there's a lot of people like, oh, I want to see, you know, this rock band. And I'm like, you know, rock music is not that popular anymore, man. I love rock, you know, rock music, but got to look at people that are putting on shows and good stadium shows. And then you also got to think, like, the deal with, like, Taylor Swift is people, you know, think, oh, yeah, she'll do it at some point. There's something about, like, owning the show there's something at the NFL from a standpoint of proprietary, you know, when it comes to the 20 minutes or 15 minutes of the halftime show. And I think that's the big holdup for her. And here's the other thing I would say is the NFL doesn't really need to have Taylor Swift in that spot. You know, there's a lot of other artists that, you know, maybe there's some people who watched that last night like, boy, I want to check out more Bad Bunny's music. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. I know none of this is sports wise, but I feel like the Super Bowl is like a lot of people watch it who don't necessarily watch sports on a regular basis. It's like the commercials, which there were a few I thought that were okay. As usual, the commercials are not what they, like when I was growing up in the 90s, the commercials were 90s and even the 2000s. That was something to get excited about. And these days, a lot of AI stuff, a lot of, again, you get movie trailers these days, but in terms of like creative ads, there were like the one I remember the most is the Duncan ad. I'm not going to sit here and say that was a good ad, but it was one of those, you're sitting there kind of watching it and you're like, okay, Jason Alexander, Jaleel White, Alfonso Ribeiro, Matt LeBlanc, Jennifer Aniston, Ted Danson, Tom Brady shows up. It's like, so the celebrity aspect of it made it kind of fun. I did like the tight end commercial about prostate cancer checks. I thought that was really well done. That made me giggle. Weirdly, one of the ones that made me laugh the most was the Pringles commercial with Sabrina Carpenter, and I don't know why, but I thought that was goofy and fun for some reason. And there were a few others there too, but anyway. I already see that there are odds out for who's going to win the Super Bowl next year. By the way, I think it's the Seahawks and the Rams are the opening favorites, then the Bills. And like, all right, we haven't even seen NFL free agency yet. We haven't even seen the draft yet. But sure. I mean, hey, you might be able to get a good deal if you lay down a bet right now on who's going to win the Super Bowl next year. But I would think that the Seahawks were probably if you at the beginning of the regular season, if you put down a Super Bowl winning bet on them, I would imagine that was actually a pretty good payout for you. I don't know who does that, but it's always something we talk about. If we have a huge surprise winner for a championship and you're like, hey, if you had bet on so-and-so, I would imagine Indiana football was probably a pretty good payout if you had made that bet at the beginning of the season too. So to have the foresight, be very impressive. There's a lot of people who think that they do, but yeah, I think both of our football champions this year, very few people would have. I think fans of those teams would have been kind of surprised, from the beginning of the season to the end, and say, yeah, I don't think they would have won a championship when it first started. That would be good, but good luck figuring that one out. So. Let's see. Anything else to touch in on today? No surprise, Arizona still number one in the AP poll in men's college basketball as they remain undefeated. I'm kind of curious. How far up is Miami now? Are they still? I think it's interesting. They're still undefeated, but AP voters are very aware of the fact that they haven't played a particularly tough schedule, so they're still at 23. They're kind of an interesting. I'm also curious to see if they go all the way undefeated, what seed would they get in the NCAA tournament? Like, if they don't lose a game, Miami University. Just a reminder, the one in Ohio is Miami University. The one in Florida is the University of Miami. Well, I was having a discussion with Mark about that. I guess the Miami folks had sent out a press release saying, we're not Miami of Ohio. It's like, in the national sports media, you're Miami of Ohio. It's like, for whatever reason, New Mexico State hates NMSU. They don't like that acronym for some reason. They want NM State, which, either here or there, but almost everybody I know calls them NMSU. NMSUA. I don't quite understand the negativity towards NMSU personally, but is what it is. Because I guess the question is, what else would it be when you look at NMSU? Is that big of a difference between that and NM State? And I don't know. Let's go back to New Mexico. Was it New Mexico A&M back in the day? Let's go back to that. I don't think it's been New Mexico A&M for like 100 years probably, but it's like I don't think UTEP had the choice, but I always thought Texas Western was kind of a – I kind of like that better than UTEP, honestly. But I guess it's technically Texas El Paso, but it's like, but it's also one of those things like, you know, the University of Texas is technically Texas Austin, but everybody just calls them Texas, you know. I think the only pro team that has that problem is like the Angels. They can't decide what they are. We're the Anaheim Angels, we're the California Angels, we're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, we're, you know, it's like, yeah. I mean, I would have just stuck with Anaheim Angels. I don't know why. But you, I guess you want that branding of, oh, we're Los Angeles. The Dodgers are Los Angeles. You know? That's just, you're in a much different part of town in Anaheim. It's okay to be Anaheim, I think. But it's also the same of like the New York Jets and Giants. They don't technically play in New York and all that silliness. And it's like, back to what I was talking about 10 minutes ago. It's not that big of a deal. Who cares? I would just, hey, listen, if I'm Miami University, I'm just excited about the fact that a lot of people are talking about me. I mean, it's not a university that gets a whole lot of national publicity, and you know, the Red Hawks are having a nice season, so good for them. I'm surprised I'm not yelling at ESPN where it says Miami OH on there. How dare you call us that? By the way, if you are curious, the rest of the top 10 in men's college hoops right now: Michigan, Houston, Duke, Iowa State, Connecticut, Nebraska, Illinois, Kansas, and Michigan State. So, by the way, Miners beat the Aggies over the weekend in an overtime game down in El Paso. It's a nice win for them. Aggies are at home on Thursday or on Wednesday as they host Liberty. UTEP's at Jacksonville State. Saturday, New Mexico State goes to Jacksonville State, and UTEP's at home against Liberty as the setup this week for them. UNM, meanwhile, they've got Grand Canyon on the road on Wednesday. And then on Friday? No, I guess they only play one game this week. They do. It's just one game for the Lobos this week. Grand Canyon, that's a pretty big game for them. Lobos lost to Boise at home on Saturday. Tough week for the Lobos. They lost pretty big to Utah State at home and then lost by a point to Boise State at home as well. So, kind of curious. I haven't looked at bracketology recently. Have they put a new one out? Let's see. Bubble Watch. See, oh yeah, new bracketology today. I wonder how many teams he's got in the... Wait, no, I guess that's not it. All right, I'll just use the Bubble Watch one. That's fine, too. Kind of curious what they've got for the Mountain West for teams that are in... So should be in. The only one they've got is Utah State. Work to do. Okay. What's interesting is so let's say Miami were to lose in their conference tournament. There's a feeling that Miami may have some trouble getting in the tournament, which is pretty wild. San Diego State, New Mexico, all on that proverbial bubble. Same with Boise in the Mountain West. But maybe in a little bit better spot than some of the other teams. But it was not a good week for UNM, unfortunately. So I don't know if they're getting into a point of where they're going to have to win their conference tournament to get in or not. We'll see. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. If you want to call in, 437-1230. More of the Roundup coming up for you next.
No roadblocks are scheduled today on Highway 70, 54 South, or 380. For the latest roadblock information, call 575-678-1178. Tonight's forecast, mostly cloudy skies. In Alamogordo, expect a low of 47, Cloudcroft, an overnight low of 36. For tomorrow, Tuesday, partly sunny, becoming partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers. Alamogordo tomorrow, high 66, low 43. Cloudcroft tomorrow, high 52, and an overnight low near 31.
This is Deborah Romero, President and CEO of First National Bank. When it comes to your mortgage, you deserve more. At First National Bank, we live in the communities we serve, which means faster decisions, personalized service, competitive rates, and real people who know you by name. We treat you like a neighbor. Whether you're buying your first home or refinancing the one you love, our local lenders are with you every step of the way. Choose First National Bank, where home begins.
First National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, all on subject to credit approval.
In school sports, it's easy to see the wins, the moments that make headlines. But there's so much work that goes unseen for any of it to happen. My name is Phil Risen, and I'm the Executive Director of the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. Throughout the country, athletic administrators dedicate countless hours to making life-changing opportunities possible for student athletes through sports. Their sacrifice is fueled by the belief that every student can grow and deserves their time to shine. On behalf of the NIAAA, we want to thank every athletic administrator for your tireless dedication to providing 7.8 million students across the country a path to a better future.
This message presented by the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Michael Shinneberry here. Join me for live and local discussions every Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 a.m. and 101.9 FM. If it's local events, we talk about it. If it's politics, local, state, or national, we talk about it. Pick a subject, we talk about it. We're now streaming online at alamosportsandtalk.com. It's the Michael Shinneberry Show every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. only on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 a.m. and 101.9 FM.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Big Brothers Big Sisters needs you. We are always looking for bigs and littles for both community-based and site-based matches. We only need 1 hour per week for you to invest in the life of a child. No special skills are required, just the ability to listen, care, and support. When you give us that 1 hour per week, together we can change a life. To get started, call Brenda Dorsey, Vice President of Rural Programs at 575-708-0716. Again, that number is 575-708-0716. Thank you in advance.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230, 101.9, 53 after the hour. Olympics rolled on today. No new medals for the United States. Switzerland won gold in men's team combined in alpine skiing. They also won the silver, or tied for the silver. Austria and... I didn't realize there was a team event in or teams combined skiing. Freestyle, women's slope style. Switzerland won there, then China, then Canada. Germany won men's normal hill individual for ski jumping. Poland and then Japan and Switzerland. Snowboarding, Japan, New Zealand, South Korea. And then in speed skating, Netherlands, Japan. In women's 1,000 meters. Women's big air, by the way, was snowboarding. I was talking about there. So tomorrow we get medals in curling, mixed doubles. The Americans are going to be playing for the golds, mixed doubles. I think they're playing Sweden. And alpine skiing, women's team combined, biathlon, got cross-country skiing tomorrow, freestyle skiing, more. I would get short track speed skating for the first time. I love the team events on those. Those are interesting to watch in the short track. It's like madness watching them like pushing each other. I find that one really fun to watch. Luge women's singles wraps up. and ski jumping as well. So medal count, I believe Norway's at the top, but let me double check that. Yeah, Norway's got 6 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, 2 bronze, followed by Switzerland at 5. Japan's got 7 total. They've got, actually, Italy's got the most total. They've got 9, 6 bronze, but just the 1 gold. U.S. has got 2 golds, no other medals so far early on in the games. I love Gold Zone. That, if you haven't watched that, if you don't have Peacock, man, just for the Olympics, it's worth it. Because it's very similar to watching... kind of. I mean, it's not even quite the same as watching Red Zone. It's the same idea, but I like the fact that they'll, you know, they will leave 4 things up. I guess that they do that on Red Zone too. So yeah, okay. But yeah, they do a nice job with that. I like it. You know, it's there's a lot of different events that are going on, and I got to be honest, there's a lot of it's a little boring. So kind of having the different things going on makes it a little bit better, you know, better of a watch from my perspective. So. By the way, the men or the medals that have been won so far for the United States, Breezy Johnson won the women's downhill and skiing, and then the team, the figure skating team won the team event. So I don't know what, like, in terms of getting, like, really excited about in the next couple days or not. I don't know. And hopefully I didn't, you know, for those that maybe watch primetime this evening on NBC, hopefully I didn't ruin any of that for you. Because I think there's a lot of people who just tune in and watch that. I get that. That makes sense. But as for sports to watch tonight, outside of the Olympics, of course, you have nothing is going to be live at the Olympics tonight, but you can watch that stuff. Or if you've got Peacock, you can go back and watch the replay of the events. Super easy. Men's college hoops, let's see. Xavier at St. John's tonight. That might be okay. That's Patino versus Patino there, though. That's at MSG. St. John's got a nice win over UConn over the weekend. Louisville's at home against NC State. That should be a pretty decent game. That's on ESPN. ESPN also has, great game. Number 1 Arizona, number 9 Kansas. We have that game on Alamo Sports and Talk for you as well. 6:45, 7 o'clock is the tip-off. So check that out. NBA tonight is on Peacock. You got Bucks at Magic and Thunder at Lakers this evening. And, of course, no NHL, and I guess there'd be nothing else going on. Obviously, some Olympic stuff that you can check out. And, again, we started the show talking about local stuff. No high school sports going on today. We've posted all the results from the weekend, swimming, wrestling. Gosh, I'm trying to think. And then all the basketball scores from Friday and Saturday for you guys, too. So we'll be on a busy week. I think I'll be here for the show tomorrow. I haven't decided yet. Kind of take Tuesday because it's a road trip, but man, that's a short road trip, so I probably will be here. But if I'm not, you know why. Simple as that. And then the rest of the week, I should be here. So you can tune into the show and check all that good stuff out. But lots of high school hoops all week long. Games on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for our area teams. If there's anybody in particular that you're interested in, I would check their schedules. Max Preps is a pretty safe spot to go. Just search them up and to find what time they've got their stuff going on this week. And we'll remind you on the show throughout the week, as I always do. I just try not to be too incredibly repetitive, you know. All right, any other headlines to touch in on today? Lindsey Vonn's dad is... That's the other big story of the Olympics over the weekend, was Lindsey Vonn crashing and breaking her leg after she was going to compete with an ACL and ACL tear. And that's just tough, man. Kudos for trying it. The dad says she hopes it's the end of his career, if he had any say. Downhill skiing, I'd say we don't put enough respect on the name of some of those sports in the Winter Olympics. The danger factor. Skiing, the luge, bobsled, skeleton. I mean, these people are putting their lives on the line. As much as we can kind of, you know, make fun of, you know, curling and, I mean, even figure skating to a point. I mean, figure skating is one of those you could really hurt yourself as well. And there's a few other sports out there, man. I mean, it's dangerous. Dangerous for sure. All right, y'all. That does it for the show. Have a great rest of your day. Stay with us.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, KRSY 1230 AM and K270 CS 1019 FM, Alamogordo.
They spooked the offense coordinator known as Josh McDaniels. It looked like he did not want to take any chance.